Hey guys, you're listening to the Anti-Marketing Podcast. I am here today with my co-host Najib.
Hey.
And we are here talking with Cure, and we have two people with us in the podcast room, which I know has not happened yet, but welcome and ride along this ride with us. We have Bella, who is the general manager.
Hello.
And we have Carrie, who is the creative director and catering
director.
She's the director of all the things. Yes. I knew as I started to list them that I was not going to do your titles justice.
You did just fine.
Well, thank you. So for those that don't know, Cure has how many locations?
Two currently, and then we just announced our third one. So we have one in Norfolk that has been there for 10 years. In February, we celebrated our birthday. And then we have one in Smithfield that has been there for like 3.5. Mm-hmm. And then we're opening one in Portsmouth this year. Mm-hmm. So
I saw that announcement and I was like, oh, that's going to be really exciting for
people. We're really excited. So excited. We're very excited.
So tell me, whichever, whomever wants, and feel free to like bounce around, how Cure got started.
Well, you take this one. She's been there for longer than
I've been there a long time. Cure was started, our owners are Chris Shelton and Mike Aston. They're childhood best friends. They grew up in Smithfield, Virginia. And after, I guess after college or something along those lines, they were having a pastrami sandwich, I think, somewhere. And they were like, man, this is really good. We should do something like this. Like, we should do a place that has really good smoked meats and really good something else. And then, you know, they went on the realm of like, oh, craft coffee, beer and wine, like we should do something like this. And so that little like sandwich sparked their idea of having, you know, this whole business that is a coffee shop, a beer and wine spot, and a place to have really delicious food. And so the idea behind the name of Cure is, you know, it's a place to cure what ails you, essentially, of like, you know, you go out the night before and have like a wild night and you come there the next morning to cure the hangover or the pain or whatever, or like the need to have some caffeine.
And
yeah, so it's a fun little play on words, and you know, it's definitely held up to its name for sure.
I love it. So why Norfolk, right? If they're like they were in Smithfield, what brought you guys to Freemason?
I think it was at the time, like, there wasn't really a lot going on. Like, this is over 10 years ago now, and there wasn't really a craft coffee scene. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've kind of been on the hub of the growth potential of a city. And so we found the spot that we did, which is in a beautiful neighborhood that we love so much, and, you know, decided to put that there to kind of encourage more of a younger crowd to come through and, you know, explore the craft coffee scene. And, you know, we partner with Counterculture Coffee, who is, in our opinion, one of the best in the world. Mm-hmm. And they have a really great product and really do really wonderful things. And so we kind of wanted to, you know, put that foot forward and explore that. And there are obviously, like, you know, some wonderful spots around that have been there before, like a latte cafe. And we kind of took a nod from them and wanted to expand that scope and allow, you know, more of a coffee scene to grow and explore and expand in the area.
I really like that answer.
Thanks.
That was like a good one.
Yeah. You practiced it a long time.
She wouldn't stop saying it over and over again.
I can feel it in my soul. So one of the things that I love about coming in there is that you guys always have the best desserts, and we were talking about this before the podcast started. And anybody that I have known that I have met there goes obviously for the coffee, but they're like, we have to get this. In my case, it is a brownie. But how has it turned into, right, like this idea of, you know, friends that were, oh, it was like a good pastrami sandwich. How's it turned into this place where, like, you meet a friend at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and get a coffee and a brownie, and it's such a good hangout spot.
Thank you.
It is.
We try.
Yeah.
I think that one of the things is, you know, Mike and Chris, they have given their staff and us like a lot of creative freedom. And so, you know, they both have full-time jobs, so they are not there, you know, every day for like the day-to-day things. They handle like the sort of big picture side of things as well as the finances. But it's really, you know, they let people really kind of flow in what their talents are. And so we both feel really fortunate because, mm-hmm. You know, they allow us to have a lot of creative freedom. So I think they've hired people over the years that have just really taken an idea and run with it. So, you know, for years, the whole pastry side of things, Carrie did a lot of it back in the day, and then different people that we would hire would have baking shifts, but it wasn't like one particular job until in 2019 we hired our current baker. Her name is Eugene, and she is...
We love her so much.
We literally worship the ground she walks on.
We do.
Everyone in our cafe.
I worship the ground that she walks on.
Yeah, so she's amazing, and we are so excited because our new spot in Portsmouth will be, like, have more of a designated cafe or bakery side of it. And so we're really excited to, like, grow and expand that into, you know, being able to do, like, pre-orders and cakes and, you know...
And
bigger stuff.
Things.
Yeah.
All the fun things. It'll definitely give a lot more creative freedom and a lot more, you know, opportunity to grow even more with that and kind of explore the sweets.
Yeah.
So I think one of my big questions is knowing how much goes into, like, owning a business and then having jobs outside of the business, like, for the owners. And I've actually, like, we've interviewed a few restaurants who operate that way, so it's very familiar to me. Beyond the expansion part, how, like, tell me how it goes from being one shop to now three, and, like, how the demand for it grows, or where that idea comes from to say, hey, like, maybe it's time we do something in Portsmouth. Like, how does that, whose idea was it? Where'd it come from?
It's kind of, it's based on, I think, our internal growth. Like, we are able to see the demand, we're able to see how we are starting to outgrow what we're doing. And, you know, Chris is one of our owners, is an entrepreneur, and he, you know, is always looking for what's next. And so we're also, we kind of have, like, adopted that in a way. And so we're always like, okay, we're kind of maxing out with what we can do here. How do we expand that even more? What do we need to do to allow us to be more efficient, to be more creative, to be able to, you know, get more people in the door and all that stuff. And so we're at both of our locations are kind of like somehow in the last year we have, like, grown even more and are now tapped out of what we can do in those spaces. And so in order to, you know, be able to fulfill more with that and allow them to, you know, maintain and grow still, we need to do a third spot, and so that it becomes our, you know, hub of, you know, all of our baking is done there. We do a lot of prep and stuff there, and can allow another spot for people to be where it's like, you know, our footprint will kind of grow more, which is, I think kind of where we go with
that.
Yeah,
I think it also is like, you know, with one shop, you can kind of do whatever you want in a sense. With two, then you get into the issue of, like, having consistency of product. And, you know, if people have a sandwich at one place, they should be able to go to the other place and have it be the same thing. And so, you know, we do some prep in Norfolk that we send to Smithfield because their space is even smaller than ours. And you'd be surprised how tiny our little kitchen is in Norfolk if you walk back there. It's like,
yeah, whoa,
you guys do all this back here. And so I think, you know, with COVID, when that all happened, we had just before that kind of gotten into the rhythm of doing a coffee cart, like a mobile coffee cart. And then we also had really been expanding the catering side of things. And that was all Carrie's brainchild. And she was doing such a great job with that. And then COVID happened. And, you know, we were continuing to get, like, boxed lunch orders from the hospital. And we were doing some catering. But it just was really clear that we just did not have the space to do it in the way that that we felt comfortable, like, sending things out consistently and, like, with excellence in that tiny space. It just was very hard to keep up. And so I think that was also another thing, like, okay, we need another spot, like, because we see a future with doing catering as well. And it just was, it was like, all right, we need, we've grown past this. Yeah.
How did the two different locations kind of work in tandem with each other? So I'm sure, like, Norfolk's got a certain type of demand, a certain type of clientele, where Smithfield's a little bit different. How does that dichotomy of the two work in tandem with each other? And then how will Portsmouth kind of flow into that picture too?
We, we have a base level of like what I kind of call the like cure personality, mm-hmm. Where we make sure that our staff knows like what our expectations are of like excellent customer service and making people feel incredibly welcome, and like those are kind of like the baseline like minimums. And so, and then our, you know, our food product, we have a lot, we have the same menus at each spots, but we allow all of our locations to have their own take on some things, like doing specials that are their own, doing like some little events and stuff that are their own, or like kind of like decorating for the holidays a little different. And like, mm-hmm. we think it's important to play to where you are. And, you know, while your baselines are the same and like you have the same, you know, like, oh, when you walk into a space, you know that that's cure. Like,
right.
but mm-hmm. the more you spend time there, you can kind of develop its own personality and like you can experience it in a little bit of a different way, so that you have something just a little different everywhere that you go, but you know that at the bare minimum that you're going to get something that is very cure and very wonderful.
I think what makes it cure too is mm-hmm. like we, again, we keep coming back to like giving our staff
yeah.
freedom, and like cure is the people that work there, you know, and like who mm-hmm. those specific people are changes over time. But there's just, I think we've been able to maintain like a very close-knit, you know, I don't want to say like family, because I feel like that's really like played
cliche.
Out.
Yeah.
But like good friendships. And I think that that's what you feel. That's like the cure when you get that vibe when you walk in, because, you know, those people feel the freedom to be themselves. They all genuinely get along. Like, I think as I've hired people over the last couple of years, I've seen increasingly that like, number one, you can train anything, but even if somebody comes in with like the appropriate skills, if it's not the person that meshes with the team, mm-hmm. then like that's really noticeable. So I think having people that just mesh really well together, like when people walk in and come away with that sense, like I think they're picking up on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think it's true, because you think about like going into a Starbucks, a giant like coffee chain, you get the same thing everywhere, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
they come out with, like, whatever they've come out with, and you, mm-hmm. You know, you can go get it, and it's going to be the same thing, and it's whatever. We walk in a cure, it is, like, what's new that's baked today that
mm-hmm.
wasn't here the last time I came?
Yeah.
And what's this coffee special that
mm-hmm.
wasn't here the last
right.
time I was
yeah.
here? And it's nice that you guys do that between locations, because it does, I think, family's a fine word, I'm going to use it. I think it does, like, play to that idea
mm-hmm.
of, like, not only are you guys family, but you're integrating yourselves into the community around
mm-hmm.
you
mm-hmm.
in such a way that it's the same at any place you go, but it's not.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, that's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I like
yeah.
that.
And I think a lot of people get caught up when they expand.
And how much of that creativity comes from your staff within, right? So they have a lot of,
mm-hmm.
sounds like autonomy
mm-hmm.
in some ways to really make it their own.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the menu items, I'm sure, over the years have come from
mm-hmm.
right within,
yeah.
right?
I think, yeah, we definitely, like, we kind of try to give people assignments and then give them the flexibility. Like, I like to say that I start off giving people a lot of freedom and then adjusting management based on that. Like, some people want more guidelines, and that's
mm-hmm.
okay, too. But I prefer to, like, not start off that way and then see what happens and just kind of have an open dialogue about what they feel comfortable with. So I think we kind of just tell people, like, hey, like, you know, we need a sandwich special this month, you know. Let's try to like cross utilize some things so we don't have a lot of waste, but come up with something, and if you want like feedback, then let us know.
Yeah, and one of the things is like what she was talking about is how, you know, we want our employees to enjoy their job,
mm-hmm.
and the more of a sense of ownership you can feel over
yeah.
something, the more that you're going to have pride in it. And when it's like, you know, you can, you're like, oh, I created this, and people are enjoying something
mm-hmm.
that I made. And, you know, the more that you kind of see that interaction, the more you want to do that, and the more you want to share that. And
yeah.
so I think that that has helped. And, like, when we do events and stuff, like, we have our, it's coming up in a month or so, but we have an annual Harry Potter day
yeah.
that we're doing. yeah.
That
we do it every year.
Lovely.
It's great.
Yep.
It's so much fun. And, you know, we have some folks that are going to be helping with our, like, our drink specials and our food specials, because we're going to be doing it for a whole month this year, and that's going to be a lot of undertaking to do, and, you know, one person just can't do all of that. And so
mm-hmm.
allowing some fresh ideas, and, like, we have, you know, one of our girls, Ilya, she's really excited to, like, come up with some fun, like, garnishes and
mm-hmm.
drinks and all that stuff. And, like, that's the kind of thing that people want to see and they want to come for, is what we've experienced is, like, you love doing that. We want to enjoy that.
Yeah.
I think that's a mistake that a lot of entrepreneurs make, is they think that they're the only ones that have the answers. And it sounds like you guys are at a place that really acknowledges that, hey, I'm really good at these things and you're really good at those things. And I bet we'd be really great if you did the things you do really well and I do the things I do
really
well. Yes,
definitely. I think that's kind of played a big role in our success for so long, is like, you know, like our owners are great at, you know, being entrepreneurs and, you know, having the forward idea and the forward momentum. And we're great at, you know, bringing in the people, having the culture and our space that feels, you know, it helps people thrive. And, you know, we've worked really well with that for so long. And I, you know, that's why we're here 10 years later. And while we're expanding to 3 shops, is because there's something, we found something a little special and we really enjoy that.
I like the idea of, I know something that I try and do with like my staff and my team. I really do enjoy that you guys are like, hey, you got like a menu idea? You want to like learn how to make a fancy drink? You want to learn how to do whatever? Or you have a, you know, bring it to us.
Yeah.
You know,
definitely.
And I try and do that with my team, and I try and do that in life. Like you think about your kids and your families and whatever, like.
Yeah, but it also helps with engagement, right?
Yeah.
Your staff stays highly motivated, and they feel like they have an ownership, as you said, ownership in the process. But then, you know, you guys ultimately have the final say, you know, in how it gets rolled out and the message that goes around it. Mm-hmm. That's great that you guys allow that culture to kind of permeate through your locations.
Mm-hmm. What I imagine, too, from like a marketing standpoint, like if I create something, I want to share it.
Yeah.
Even if I'm not the owner or I'm not the manager or the creative,
right.
if I made this sandwich and this is the best sandwich that I've ever had and the sandwich is named whatever I named it or however,
right,
you know,
yeah.
I'm posting that mess online.
Exactly.
And I want everybody to come try it. And
yeah.
So you get, like Najib is saying, like that pride of employment,
mm-hmm.
of saying like, come see me here,
right.
Mm-hmm. Which can be really difficult to do in the food service realm.
Very much so. And, you know, that, like, we understand how hard food service is and how, you know, taxing and kind of thankless it is. It's very thankless in a lot of ways. And when you can contribute something that, like, when you go to work, you don't want to just go to work, clock in, clock out. Like, it's so much of your life that you spend there that you should kind of feel a little bit of, like, there should be a little spark of magic there somewhere.
You shouldn't dread Monday morning.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
And you don't always get, like, the validation from the customer, you know what I mean? Which, I mean, rarely, let's be honest.
Right. God, this is the best sandwich I ever had. I made it myself.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's
yeah.
But if you can get that, I think, like, we both, I mean, I'm a mom, and Carrie is, like, a very maternal person, and so I think that, like, we kind of give, that carries over into the staff, so kind of giving people that, like, hey, like, you did such a good job, and, you know, not, like, in a cheesy way, but just making sure that people feel appreciated, even if they don't get that from the outside.
Well, that genuine positive reinforcement is going to help with employee retention. It's going to help with their general demeanor with clients.
Yeah.
When, you know, or guests, you know, whatever.
Same thing, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's impressive how much, like, the positive reinforcement really goes a long way,
yeah.
where it's like, you don't want to be nitpicked at all day,
mm-hmm.
every day, and,
mm-hmm.
like, you need to find the good things to keep
mm-hmm.
encouraging people,
yeah.
where it's just like, you know, you want to have something that's like, well, what am I doing here?
Right.
Like, why am I still doing
mm-hmm.
this? Like, oh, like, you guys appreciate what I'm doing. Like, I'm
right.
going to keep going for it.
Right. Well, it makes people want to grow with the company, which
exactly.
I think is really special. And then that allows you to continue to grow as well.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me a little bit about sort of the process of growing and moving into a new space and the fun challenges that come along with that. Tell me how you
so
do
many.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
one is different than others because, I mean, well, I had just been hired in 2018 after they had opened Smithfield, so that I actually wasn't around for that one. But there's so, this one feels like a giant step because with having this third spot be sort of the hub for prep and expanding the bakery side so much,
mm-hmm.
there's just, you know, we're switching systems so we can, you know, have better tracking and inventory. And so it's like kind of a million things that all of a sudden, I mean, I feel like part of the answer to that question is like, we don't really know exactly. We're figuring
mm-hmm.
it out as we go. And in terms of like, you know, we're kind of at some of the fun stages with, like, figuring out design and layout.
That's
and
the fun part, for sure.
So that's fun.
Systems are not the fun part.
Yeah. So there's a lot that's, like, we, at this moment, we're, like, still figuring it out. Mm-hmm. But we're, you know, the owners really enjoy this stage of things in particular. They're very good at doing build-out. Chris especially is, like, super handy. Mike, the other owner, has a background in, like, electronics.
He's a software engineer.
Clearly I don't. Electrical things. So they're kind of, you know, elbow deep in, like, you know, building out the new space and everything. So
a little bit of it feels like starting from scratch in a way, and because we're going to be shifting a lot of things that we're doing, and you know, those growing pains are definitely tiresome in a lot of ways, but they're necessary and they're good for the long run. When we were doing Smithfield, it was definitely it felt like a little bit going in blind of just being like, what are we doing? But it was very fun because we wanted to, you know, again, like, expand our personality, expand the space, and, like, kind of run into those challenges. And, like, we love a challenge, and we love to figure out how we adjust to it. And in Smithfield, it's a small town. It's a quiet town. And, you know, it's just, you know, starting to get that pickup, and it's a sweet place to be in the weekends. And how do we, you know, grow in there and allow a space that can be kind of, like, new and modern and fresh in a smaller town? And it's definitely, it provided us a few challenges, but we definitely worked with it and grew into that space really, really well.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where it's so nice, like, when you're in the middle of it, that you can recognize all of the challenges are worth, like, what's on the other side. Mm-hmm. Because you've done it once, you're like, it was worth it.
Right.
It was so worth it. We're going to put ourselves through that again.
we've definitely had those moments where we're like, all right, let's stretch. Let's do this. We're going to do it again.
After we saw the space for the first time, we were so excited. But I also was like, I'm like, nauseous, excited, nauseous.
go hand in hand for sure.
Will I ever sleep again?
No.
Right. I know. I was like, ooh, okay, deep breaths.
But we're very excited. Yeah. Like, it's definitely like an adrenaline rush kind of thing where it's like, oh boy, okay, let's go.
And I think that, like, there's also, again, I think of things a lot in, like, the framework of, like, you know, kids and stuff like that, because I have children.
Yeah.
But I'm like, with the excitement of the new spot, I'm like, we want to be conscious that the other two places, like, don't feel neglected. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, making sure that even now and, like, before it's even opened, like, we are really excited, but I don't want people to feel, like, left out. You know what I mean?
Right, like, I'm
and
not so, at the new space.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. So, like, kind of bringing everybody into what's going on there, and, but also, you know, spreading time evenly so that everyone is, like, you know, the new spot is getting a lot of attention because it's, you know, new and there's a lot going on there, but the other places are equal importance and value, and, you know, like, everyone's job is so important everywhere.
And that's why, like, with our announcement video that we did, like, we brought all of our staff together. We wanted everyone to be as much involved as possible, and, you know, that builds the excitement within our staff. And so when they were able to see the space and they were able to kind of, like, envision with us and be like, what if we did that? What if we could have that? Like, you know, it definitely helps a lot.
It's like,
you know,
makes culture, collaborativity. That's not a word.
collaboration.
Yeah. Thank you.
Because they're the reason. They're part of the reason that we are able to do this. Like, their hard work is what's gone into this. And, you know, they should feel as excited as we do, you know, and whatever we grow with and whatever we do, it should feel the same.
So then I think that's a good, like, segue into, so why? Like, why grow? Why, you know, you have one great successful shop in Norfolk when you start.
Mm-hmm.
Why grow? Why expand? Why, like, what's the why behind all of it?
I think one is, like, well, why not? You know, like, why not? We're very explorative people, I think, and I like to ask the question of, like, well, what if we did this? Like, what if we tried that? What if we, you know, do all kinds of things? And I think it's that creativity that's like, well, now we can have this, like, other spot to be, like, even more creative with, and, like, let's just keep going. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no limit to it, and there's no limit to what spaces that you can have. And one of the biggest whys is we're a place that builds community. Like, you know, that probably sounds a little cliche in a way, but that's what a coffee shop is. And, you know, whether, you know, people recognize that on the surface or not, like, we see that every day. We see relationships built. We see businesses started. We see mm-hmm. all kinds of things created there. And we've gotten to be witness to that in a lot of, in both of our spaces, and to have another one that's even bigger and, like, and allows that opportunity even more, is something we're really excited about. And, you know, and Portsmouth is a spot that is, honestly, like, such a wonderful place, and we're so excited to see, like, what can happen there, you know? Mm-hmm. It's that, well, what if, like, what if, you know, more creative endeavors are started there, and what if we get to see more things, you know, blossom in our new spot? Yeah. And that's a huge reason.
Yeah, in some ways, it probably helps you also kind of reevaluate the businesses at large, right?
Oh,
at,
definitely.
From a scale standpoint. So if you mentioned that, you know, your bakery might be at Portsmouth now, and you're kind of reevaluating, you know, how do we redo the supply chain, right?
Yeah,
and how do we do
the
deliveries, and how do we make sure it's more efficient? How do we drive more revenue? How do we grow? Because
yes.
from that, I would imagine you guys would probably have your sights set on other areas in this region that you probably want to move into at some point.
Yeah, I think there's definitely, like she kind of said, like, we kind of had plateaued what felt like in Norfolk. Like, we, you know, just in the sense that we only have a space big enough to do so much baking, and we don't really have the scale and the space mm-hmm. to do the catering that we want to. So it was like, if we're going, either we kind of abandon that side of things altogether or be okay with just staying at this spot or move forward. And, you know, I think that, like she said, we're both, like, creative people. And so I think that having, like, feeling stagnant is not something that either of us likes the feeling of. And I think that was one of, like, sort of the genuinely, like, sad things about COVID, was that it was just a year of, like, treading water and, like, survival mm-hmm. mode for everybody. And not only was that incredibly stressful for all the obvious reasons, but it also just was kind of soul crushing, because it was like, all right, well, obviously we know this will end eventually, but, like, it didn't feel like there was any forward movement. And so
right.
I think that's what's also so exciting about this. Like, okay, like, we're moving up. Like, we're doing something.
Mm-hmm.
We're moving forward, you know.
We were actually just talking about that the other day, of, like, how it's like we spent so long just being like, okay, well, here it goes. It's just like kind of
right.
playing the record over and over again of, like, all right, just survive. And now it's like we feel like re-energized
mm-hmm.
and, like, rejuvenated. And it's like, oh, we have, like, growth now,
right.
and we can do something
yeah.
again.
Yeah.
Than just survive.
Well, I think a lot of, you know, it's, you use the term, like, being comfortable with being stagnant or not. I think a lot of people find too much comfort in being stagnant.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would like to say that the more successful businesses are the one who are like, I would just, like, kind of rather be uncomfortable going into the unknown
mm-hmm.
and seeing what I can do with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's been a theme of a lot of the, you know, a lot of the businesses that have sat in this room and
yeah.
talked about their businesses, is that they stepped outside of their comfort zone. They didn't just take the day-to-day monotony of what they do every day as the norm.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're okay with that. And I think businesses, to Misty's point, that look forward and say, you know what, we need to kind of reorient, reconfigure, here's how we're going to do it, thrive, because they're able to pivot from one to the other, especially with a global pandemic thrown in their faces
yeah.
along with it.
Yeah.
When I saw you guys announce that you were opening another spot, like, right on the cusp of, like, the end, I can't quote unquote end, you know what I mean? But that meant you had been working on it
mm-hmm.
prior. Like
mm-hmm.
when I saw that, I was very encouraged.
It was,
like,
strategic, right?
Yeah.
And it wasn't just, like, haphazard.
Mm-hmm.
There was probably an opportunity that presented to both the owners and you guys, and
mm-hmm.
you guys said, you know what, this is the time to do it.
Yeah.
There's
even
our time.
Thinking about it, I mean, that was also one of the things that was so, like, another crushing thing about the pandemic was we had been talking about opening a third spot in 2019. And so we had hired Eugene, our amazing baker, with the kind of, like, all right, so we're going to do this for a few months in Norfolk, but we're looking for spaces, and we'll have a real bakery soon.
Mm. 2 years later.
Yeah.
2 years later. But she'll still get it. But, you know, so that was definitely like, okay, we're going to put a pin in this because it's just not going to happen
mm-hmm.
right now. But then, you know, Mike and Chris were looking at spaces, and we definitely felt like kind of Norfolk, like, there's so many craft coffee shops now. Like Carrie said, that just the culture has changed since we first opened up in on Botetourt Street, and so we just felt like, you know, we don't want to sort of contribute to like an oversaturation,
right?
Mm-hmm. Or compete with yourself.
And yeah, compete with ourselves. And like there are so many other great, like, so, like, unique options there. Yeah. It's like, why do we need two cures there? You know, like
right.
we can.
Mm-hmm. There's so many other places. Like we love our neighborhood, but like over in Ghent, and then you know Park Place, like. There's awesome businesses. Like,
oh, yeah.
they can, like,
yeah.
we want to support them,
you
honestly.
You like, come hang out over in Virginia Beach by me and, like, like coffee shop and
yeah.
and that can stop.
I'm sure that's on the roadmap somewhere.
yeah. Virginia Beach is rough with tourism and stuff. You get more.
It's
get,
a whole other different animal
yeah,
there.
It's a
beast.
Teeny tiny beast. Yeah.
yeah.
So, what would you say, and I think this will be, like, a good, like, note to end on, what do you think has contributed to y'all's, like, the overall success the most? Like, I know we talked about staff and employees, and but ultimately it came from a lunch with two friends, and however many years later, there's three locations. Like, what's that, like, driving?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question.
I know.
That's
why I don't ask you first.
I'll let you. I don't know. I feel like, just to be honest, like, I think that the staff is what, like, has kept it going. I think that people that have worked there over the years have really kind of taken Cure under their wing. And, like, you know, again, the autonomy has allowed people to, like, make it their own while they're there. And each person has, like, left an imprint and, you know, kind of the next person has picked up the baton, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that... you know, that's a huge part of it. I think also we always joke that we're like the golden retriever of coffee shops.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Because we, you know, sometimes the craft coffee scene can feel a little unapproachable and like
you guys
snobby.
Are so friendly. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and so we definitely, I think like that culture kind of starts from the top down. Like I think
yeah.
we, you know, there's a way that people can, you know, when somebody comes in and they're like a coffee drinker or not. And so you don't ever want somebody to feel silly that they don't know what they're talking about. And so I think that like we make a point to train staff to like be welcoming to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we want people to walk in and feel like accepted and comfortable. And, you know, we want it to feel like a safe space. And so...
that's actually, like, the mark of a good coffee shop to me. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know anything about coffee except for I like my coffee to taste like dessert. So, like, that's what, like, what do you want? And I was like, make it taste like dessert.
Yeah.
Hot or
sweet treat. And there are a lot of coffee shops where, not in this area, I wouldn't say, but, like, that I've been to elsewhere where, like, if you don't want something that's, like, very, like, you know, hoity-toity and, like, specific that you kind of feel foolish because the barista is, like, kind of rude. And so we've made a point to just really maintain approachability and like friendliness and like, you know, so I think that is like a huge factor.
Yeah, I would,
if that makes any sense.
For sure.
It was a rambling answer.
But I like a rambling answer, but I do really do think that that's what sets you guys apart. Like I said, you can go into a Starbucks and everyone has like their weird random thing they get from Starbucks, and but it's not I wouldn't want to go like, I don't know, maybe it's just me. Like, I would rather go to a Cure and meet Najib for coffee and sit and...
But
it's more warm and welcoming. It's not a place, like...
Or
it's
not
very transactional at other places.
Yeah, the big box, like the Starbucks and the Dunkin's, they feel very... they feel very sterile, if that makes sense. Like
mm-hmm.
it's very redundant. It's the same thing. And so, but with what you guys do, and when you guys change it up, I think that change up is what drives more customers to come back to see what is next.
Yeah, 100%. Right. Like, talking about the whole, like, we're not comfortable with being stagnant. Like, we feel that way just in our spaces. Like, we just, like, with the pandemic, we painted the entire space. Like, we redesigned it, we remodeled it. And so we wanted to, you know, and customers were like, oh, I want to go experience that and see that. And, you
mm-hmm.
know, and at the end of the day, it's just like, we wouldn't exist without our customers. And so we're not necessarily here to just, like, sit here and be that, like, just to be here. Like, we're here to grow for you guys. Like, we're here to grow for our customers and to give you something new and something exciting to try, like a fun new event to experience
mm-hmm.
or, you know, like fun cocktails to try out or whatever it is. Like, we exist for our customers and for the community, and without that, we wouldn't be growing into a third spot for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's really special. You know, it's not, it's obviously there is a transactional component, but it doesn't feel so businessy. It doesn't feel so, you know, corporate.
Right.
It feels very, like you're part of, like we said earlier, like you're part of the neighborhood. That's, that's, you guys have created something cool.
Yep.
Thank you. We definitely love it a lot.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys so much. This is great.
Thank you guys for having us.
Now I want this brownie and a coffee. All right. Well, thank you guys.
Yep.